episodes, and yes, hello, hi.
I'll tell you, these beginnings are getting better.
I'm sick. I'm sick, so that's the best I could muster. Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
Ah!
What the dealio? What the deal?
Evan!
Hey! Evan! I have to yell, apparently.
Yeah, he does. He has to yell, apparently, because his microphone's a piece of shit.
My microphone's boxed.
This is going to be a bastardized version of the cast because, A, I'm sick, 2, my phone is charging, and my internet's shit, which means we started half an hour late,
and
5,
Ethan has brunch.
Ethan has to go to our brunch later today, so he's not going to be with us past 1.
He has a brunch date.
And D, this podcast has no father.
Ooh.
Podcast 38, you are not the father.
Bastardized.
Ooh.
Okay.
Another reason why this podcast is bastardized is because I don't have an agenda written out. We're just going to talk about PS Home, but first, Tony, what do you play?
Hey. I'm not playing. Well, actually, I'm playing Diablo 2 and making mods, new mods for it. So, just what I've been doing before I stopped playing about 2 years ago. So right now I made a nice little mini-boss mod that is very, very hard, very challenging. Mm. And I'm also making new cube recipes, which right now I have about maybe 170.
So Ethan's going to brunch, and you're making recipes.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. And Ethan
I
would
am.
Like it anyway because he thinks that's fucking geeky.
You win the gay contest.
Chess boy.
You do.
Chess
boy. What you doing, chess boy?
Shut up.
What you doing, Jeff boy?
You love playing with those pawns, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Knight to Rook's ass.
Oh, God.
It's raining, man. Hallelujah.
Spartans! Stuff pawns up your ass. What else are you playing?
Who?
I said, what else are you playing?
Uh-oh.
Oh, me? Nothing.
Nothing? Ow!
If I actually managed to...
Ow. Okay, go ahead.
If I actually managed to get to play anything... I played a little bit of WoW this week when I actually had time. Not that I really did anything. I played some Final Fantasy III at work, trying to get to the end of that. I booted Pokemon because I thought about it, and I had to go to the doctor, so I played it on the train. I got eye surgery, so my eye is...
You got eye surgery?
Yeah, because I had as Austin would say, a chalazon.
Chalazon.
It's a... cyst in my eyelid. Ew.
Ouch.
So I went to the doctor on Friday. Well, I went to the hospital on Friday and got that shit taken care of. So now I look like Mike Tyson punched me in my eye. But it's a lot better now than it was on Friday.
You're a warrior.
And what about the crabs?
The crabs? The crabs are under control. They're steaming in my pants.
You shut up, bitch. Nobody's talking to you.
Oh, but before I finish...
Why don't you mind your business?
I want to pinch.
No, he got high surgery.
Man, your girlfriend hears crabs and she just gets uppity, doesn't she?
That's not my girlfriend. That's my wife.
Whatever. That's your other wife.
No, he didn't get LASIK. He had a cyst in his eye.
I want to pinch.
Yeah.
Oh,
cyst.
Oh, before I finish.
An ovarian cyst.
Remember back when we were talking about ovarian cyst? remember back when we were talking about the longest game, like the longest time clocked into a game?
Yes.
And I said that my longest was 120 hours with Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I booted up Pokemon Sapphire on Friday, and I noticed that I had 205 hours.
Good
what?
Job.
Jesus Christ! Shit. Well, what are there? That's like 1,000 Pokemon now, right?
No, only like 400-something.
Damn it! Oh, no.
Coming with the next iteration in April.
I think if you play Dark Cloud 2, you might get the Dark Cloud 20.
Hmm.
Because you can make shit out of shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just long and just arduous. Hmm. But anyway, Ethan, what are you playing? Chess Boy!
Ethan!
What?
Chess Boy!
What?
Chess Boy!
I've been playing Rainbow Six Vegas! It is fun!
Yeah? What'd you say? I can't hear you.
My girlfriend's yelling at me to keep it down!
Really? Because I can't hear you. What'd you say?
What?
Don't women like it up? Huh? Women like it up, huh?
Yeah, Rainbow Six Vegas, it's awesome.
Sweet.
How's it running on your PC?
Never makes a mistake. I wish there was a little bit there's only a limited number of commands you can give them. I wish that was bigger, but that's it. It's really good.
How's it running on your PC?
Great. I'm upset also because there's no display setting for 1280 by 1040. There's widescreen 1280, whatever that is, like 9-something, and there's 1024 768. So I have to play on something that's not... on my native resolution of the monitor, which is 1280 1024. So that's upsetting, but fuck it.
What about, like, how do you have to, like, dial it way down in terms of settings, or?
Nope, I have everything on high, and at 1024, I'm probably getting 30 frames a second. So I'm not getting super smooth, but smooth enough to play.
Right, right, right. Looks like you might, I would say you might add an SLI, but considering that we are in the Vista era, that'd be a stupid waste. So
yeah, I mean,
Don't do it now!
I'm going to wait, and then I'll probably fucking, even though I did this so I wouldn't get another machine, I'm just going to fucking get another machine.
No. You shouldn't have to get another one. Just get another video card. That's it.
Because the rest of
your shit is good.
Yeah, but I'll want a faster processor in another year, which
I'm
is probably
spoiled.
When I do it.
I'm going to Brunt. I don't know. I am playing. Oh, fuck. I forgot what I'm playing. Oh, yeah. I'm playing Twilight Princess. I'm loving it. I think I was in the unfortunate position of not having played Ocarina of Time in its prime. So everything about Twilight Princess, I'm like, this just does it better, and this is just a better game, and like I'm sure like 20 zillion people want to cut my throat for saying that right now, but it's a better game. It's just a better game. It's done better, period. I'm also playing Final Fantasy VI on Game Boy Advance again.
Wait, are you playing the GameCube version of Twilight Princess?
I'm playing the Wii. I just pissed off Dr. Fish. Sorry about that. No, one of our contributors, Dr. Fish 62, he was like, if you say wee in that voice again, I'm going to cut somebody's throat. So whoever dies, I'm sorry
Dr.
about that.
Fish.
Sorry.
His father's Dr. Giggles.
No, he's in med school and he's going to save all our lives one day. So I'm playing the Waggle version, but I also own the Cube version. I own both of them, and I fully intend on playing that version as soon as I'm done with this one.
Traitor.
It's going to be like playing.
As I said, I wanted the Cube version first.
Right.
And because I got this as a gift.
Right.
You know, which of course I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to blame my friend for. That was an awesome gift. Of course it was.
Yeah, you know, Al. But
it wasn't,
no, it wasn't Al. But
just blame Al anyway.
Shut up, Al. Wait.
Huh?
I'm also finishing up WarioWare. Not finishing up, but just like, you know, kind of hitting it, putting the game in now and then. Trying to tolerate Sonic. Sonic and the Secret Rings has gotten far worse, unfortunately.
Really? Wow.
Because of all that goal-based gameplay I mentioned last time, it's getting even heavier. And it's like, I just want to run through the level. Please let me run. And I'm also playing NBA 2K7 because the playoffs are going to start in about a month, and I miss basketball. So that's it.
Wake up, Ethan!
Okay.
Wake up!
I'm up! I'm up! What?
There's,
what the
fuck? There's no real news to speak of. Like I said, I did a really poor job in preparing this agenda, people, so I'd like to apologize for that. But we are going to talk about... And there's a lot of shit that came in from GDC.
You have Chinese Redmans,
the game.
You.
No, because I'm not Chinese. But the Game Developers Conference just happened, you know, this past week, and there's a lot of shit to talk about. Unfortunately, since I fucked up, we're going to talk about one thing, and that's the PlayStation Home. I'm going to outline it for those who aren't necessarily familiar with it. It's kind of big. It's kind of the thing where it's kind of Sony's jab back at Xbox Live, but in a huge, huge way. Let me just read some paragraphs from GameSpot. Here's the introduction to it. Imagine a three-dimensional avatar-based socializing sim like Second Life. Now, before I even continue, have any of you guys heard of Second Life?
Of course.
No.
No? Ethan?
What?
Have you heard of Second Life?
Yeah, of course.
Can you describe Second Life in a very short fashion for Tony to get? Because I'm incapable of making something quick right now because I'm sick.
Second Life is an online environment, like a massively multiplayer online game, except the whole thing is open source and programmable, so people go in and they make their own house and their own character and their own shit, and then they live this life in Second Life, and but everything's totally open-ended, and there's a real economy in there.
So it's kind of like The Sims Online plus.
Plus, 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 plus. And plus, we might not talk about it this time, but it's interesting to note that the IRS is now looking into Second Life and trying to figure out how they tax it.
Because you can make money in it, right?
Yep.
Right, yeah. Without being taxed.
But it
right.
really kind of revolves around the definition of property. Because,
right.
like, is an avatar... What is that really a thing that that right. you can trade, and even barter is taxable, but nobody does it because it's bullshit, but the IRS can track barter on an online system.
Right.
So we should talk about it at some point, but...
Oh, definitely. So, Tony, that's basically what Second Life is. it's just this big world, and you're just there. It's, like I said, it's like The Sims, but without the goals. And what the PlayStation Home so far looks to be is it just throws this environment at you. That you can remember, it's kind of, some people have said, and let me actually continue this paragraph. Going off, imagine a three-dimensional avatar-based socialized system like Second Life. Now cross it with the online gaming and matchmaking features of Xbox Live. Yeah. Leave in with dynamic streaming, in-game advertising a la Massive. Throw in some Pogo.com as casual gaming. Add a dash of Sneak King-like merchandising, and you've got Home. Another way to say it would be put the Me channel with Xbox Live and The Sims together, and that's what you have. So what it is video game players can basically turn on the PS3. They can choose if they want to play an online game. They can choose to play it through their normal route, which is a gimped version of Xbox Live, which doesn't work as well as it does because it doesn't have a friends list, doesn't have a centralized logon, blah blah blah. Or they can log on with their avatar to Home, and instead of just clicking through some menus, you can actually walk through this world, meet up with your friends in a big ass lobby, start voice chatting with them, so you can actually see them kind of walking around. You can voice chat with them. You can be like, "Hey, let's go play MotorStorm," or you can be like, "No, let me visit your apartment," and you can actually go to a fake apartment that's created in the Sony home world. You can watch trailers on their fake TV, and they. You know, this really does use the processing power of the PS3. You know, they're talking about all the bullshit, like, we can process video streams in multiple windows, and it will be really powerful. And, you know, the first thing I thought was, like, that's bullshit.
And it goes to 11.
And it goes to 11. And it's really shitty, but, like, they actually make use of it here. Like, you can place a fake Bravia TV in your living room, and you can put on, like, the fucking James Bond trailer while you go to another corner of your room and, like, play pool with your friend. And then they can be like, let's play MotorStorm, and so you boot up MotorStorm, and that's it. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who are skeptical out there just because it's like, oh, this is going to be some kind of Second Life thing that sucks you in and blah, blah, blah. They're going to have in-home advertising and all that shit. I, amongst all the skepticism with Sony and amongst all the shit we've been talking about them, you know, this is, I got to give them, you know, props for this. I think it's really good that they decided to not just ape Xbox Live, but actually make something different and cool. And even if people can say, like, you know, oh, this is a ripoff of the Me channel, so what? You know, this is much more fleshed out. This is a much huger experience. And it's like, I'm a fan of, like, you know, people giving you worlds to just fuck around in. I don't like those games. I don't like The Sims. But, like, as, you know, if people thought the Me channel was a time waster, like a great time waster and just making Mies, this, you know, is going to be crazy. But let me see if there's anything else that I can kind of read to give you an idea of what it's like. I mean, that's just basically it. And, like, you know, I've seen video clips of it, and graphically speaking, it looks pretty decent. The avatars, the people that you control, look like Xbox people. You know, like, the polygon count isn't that huge, but so whatever. You know, the environments look pretty good. And you can actually take that. It's got a lot of physics on it, so you can actually take that Bravia TV and drop it down the stairs, and it'll roll down the stairs while it's still playing the trailer. You know, so it's pretty cool. And, like, if nothing else, it's something neat that differentiates PlayStation more from the others. Whereas before, it was kind of just like, yeah, this has got all these Xbox ports, and it's Sony, and that's all we can say about it. And now it's got this big home service. Before I get your guys' opinions, I was talking with Mozart about this, and he was like, I think Microsoft is really going to have to respond. I don't know that they will. It's something that is, you know, this is their own thing. I don't think, like I said, I think it's really cool. I don't think it's something huge and mind-boggling and revolutionary that'll, like, totally make the PlayStation 3 take off like hotcakes. But I think it's a great endeavor, and I think it's just something that makes them different.
I think it kind of depends on what they do with it, too. I mean, like, this is the first iteration of it, to be fair.
Right.
And I know that you, like, when you win shit in games, you get shit for your apartment that you put up.
Yeah, you get trophies.
And for that, it's kind of gay, but it's kind of a hint into what they could do later, where you're really making that part of the environment, like, its own full-fledged game.
Just to jump in for a second and just kind of disclaim something, Xbox 360's Xbox Live service has this thing called achievements. So when you complete something in games, you get what's called an achievement. Yeah. So, like, if I'm playing Project Gotham Racing, and you know, I set a new record, or if I like, if I do like 3 power slides in a row, I get a little thing on the bottom of my screen that says achievement unlocked, and then everybody can go to my gamer profile on Xbox Live and see that I've unlocked X amount of achievements. So it's kind of like that system. The only difference is that the Sony one actually has a physical trophy sitting there, an image of a trophy, and it's also more limited because they don't let you see all of them. Whereas Xbox Live, you can actually just click on someone's profile and see every single achievement they've done in their entire gaming career. So it's different in that way, but the concept is the same. So I wouldn't be surprised if they if in this respect they have to play catch up.
So what happens if you invite somebody into your virtual home and they decide to knock over your trophies, throw your Bravia down the stairs?
I'm pretty sure that they'll allow that, and yeah. I would love to do that to you guys. I'd just come and be like, "Hey, Tony, clank."
I would
blonk.
Love to see.
Hey,
the
Al,
I'm
blonk.
Just thinking you have to spend like 10 more hours fixing up your shit.
I would love to see the hot coffee mod for that, where you go over to somebody's house and you rape the shit out of them.
No, some people on other podcasts were like, yeah, I can't wait for somebody to start ripping movies like illegally and like putting porn on the PS3. That's and saying, great. Hey, come to my apartment, we've got porn, and they start playing the porn.
You know what would be the ultimate? I'm sitting in my, you know, virtual reality room at some home, and I'm having a nice time looking at you know, one of the trailers. Probably a Talladega Nights trailer. And all of a sudden, someone just breaks into my window, starts shooting my legs and shit.
Just your legs.
I love this world.
First of all, how do you break into a window? That is pretty tough.
Okay, break out of.
I
want to
break
into
the
through.
Window.
Break through. I'm
sorry, Ethan. I interrupted you when you were finishing your thoughts. So continue your thought. You were talking about the trophies.
No, too late. My thoughts last like 5 seconds. If you don't let me finish, they go. So I forgot. I have no idea. Oh no, I agree with you. I was saying that it is the same thing as like checking a profile, and exactly what you said. Just it's a little bit cooler to have an environment that you can go and look at a room full of shit.
If they
let
you show them
like
all,
what?
If they let you show them all, then that'd be cool. But right now, they're kind of limiting it. But go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's all about what they do. It's all about the kind of shit you'll be able to make and customize so that... Because going to somebody's room and seeing...
It's all
like,
about what they do and not what they don't.
Yeah.
That's, this just sounded really stupid. I'm sorry.
That's
it's all about
right.
what they do as opposed to what they don't.
Well, it is, though. If they leave that shit out, it'll be bullshit and nobody will give a fuck. If they start putting that stuff in, it could be a game in and of itself, and it could be a real like value adder to the system. So yeah, I mean, while that is obvious,
see, like this taking over people's lives. So, like, if it does become huge, could you imagine it starts selling like cards with like that's virtual money, so that you can go and buy a virtual Bravia TV or a virtual.
They do that. Oh, that's the whole thing. That's like it's already been done. Like that's inevitable.
But like, what if they start bartering with real money?
They
like,
do that.
Okay.
They do that.
That's
really?
The thing.
They do that in Second Life.
They do.
They do it in Second Life.
So that's why the IRS thing. I thought it was just like fake money that the IRS...
It's fake money that has real value, though.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they do that on eBay already, and that's kind of illegal, but I don't know. But, Al, what are your thoughts? Tony, what are your thoughts? Ethan, your thoughts are already said, but what are your thoughts again?
Huh?
Al?
Huh? Sure.
Oh.
I think you could taste
me or
what, huh?
Tony.
What?
The Tricast.
I'll go.
The Tricast is stone. Sorry.
Honestly, just being a MMO kind of guy now, I can really see this going somewhere fast. And I don't mean to the shitter. I can really see people buying PlayStation 3s for maybe not the sole purpose, but as a like a icing on the cake, like an added bonus being able to immerse themselves in this world.
So if people were on the fence, this pulls them in.
Yes, it would probably pull them in, much like Final Fantasy would pull them in.
Right.
And to be truly honest, like I think that this is really really cool in terms of how you take a player from just turning on a console.
Right.
You know, putting in his game and playing the game to putting a character into the console and being able to navigate a world and then play a game.
Right.
Like, kind of being yourself
inside the video game where you can sit down in your apartment in the game and power up a game. And then when you're finished with the game, you go back into your virtual world. You can run around, go outside, go meet some friends, and be like, hey, let's play this. Go back to your apartment or something. And booyah. It's just, I'm going to just be redundant here, but it's Second Life. You're doing like a redundant world here.
Right.
And as long as they just keep things, you know, like the software is supposed to be free. Hopefully that remains free. Right. I do see that they're planning on having, what do you call it? Like per capita type things where you're,
They have the hooks in there to buy purchasable things.
Yeah, you could buy clothes, like, you know, haute couture type things, and you can get a big house with several floors and shit. So they definitely have a way to make money off of the players. I just hope that they have good enough security and that there isn't any venue for child molestation. Because, you know, they'll get all over that. PlayStation 3 home? Do you want your children in your home to be in the PlayStation home? So that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that a child molester can invite them into their home.
And rape them virtually. Rape them.
I was just about to suggest that. I always think of,
And it devolves.
The totally ridiculous ends. Like, what if they start policing this? Like, all of a sudden they do, like, the Dateline thing? On the Sony Home thing, where people are actually meeting online avatars under the age of 14 for sex, and they show up at their home and there's like hidden cameras in the home, viewing this person's avatar, whole interview. Why are you meeting this avatar for, underage avatar? How old are you? You know, all that shit. I always think of the ridiculous shit.
I'll tell you this much though, in The Sims Online, they had brothels and shit.
Yeah.
And like they had this one woman who was like a dominatrix, or no, she wasn't dominatrix. She was just a brothel mother or some shit. And
brothel mother,
yeah, you know what I mean by brothel mother, right?
Madam.
Yeah, madam. as you can tell,
dude, that term is freaking fantastic.
Brothel mother.
Yeah, now we know who's been to a brothel. Now
we know who hasn't been to a brothel.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Madam.
Oh, that's fantastic.
She's
an entrepreneur.
She had an article on some...
I'm a brothel cousin.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, dude.
She was talking about how, you know, how easy it is for people to just go and do that in The Sims, and then they have their girls. She was talking about, like, her favorite pose that she had that would make money for her and shit.
Hoes.
And I can see that translating into Second Life, which I don't know if they do that yet.
Right.
I
think I've heard things about some crazy shit going on in Second Life. They probably do that.
Yeah. And I wonder what's going to happen if it happens to mosey its way onto PlayStation Home.
Mosey. You know, just a disclaimer. Some people are, and this is something that they've said on other podcasts that needs to be repeated here. Some people are worried that they're like, I just want to get online and play a game. You can still do that. You can still do that. You just go through the regular Sony hooks and just say log into this game or whatever. You don't have to use Home. Home is a separate thing that allows you to play a game. But in the context of having a unified world where you can play games and invite people like Xbox Live, this is kind of their version of Xbox Live. And in terms of quick, efficient, easy logging on, finding a friend, and playing a game, what I'm seeing so far of Home, it looks like it doesn't get that right. But at the same time, it's totally different. So... like, whatever they lose in terms of speedy, efficient stuff, they make up for in, like, you know, all this crazy other shit that you can do. Like, you know, that if you don't want to play a game, you can do all this other crazy crap. So that's kind of the difference between the two. And you can still just jump on and play a game if you want to without going through here. But I think we heard Al. Tony, do we hear anything from you, or is what you interspersed throughout their thoughts just your thoughts?
Whatever you're going to get from me is going to be off the deep, so go to Ethan.
Ethan already went, so
this much.
Oh, go ahead.
It'll be a great day when somebody makes a mod to Upper Deck people's toilets.
You know, that's going to be Ethan's first quest.
I'm going to start working on that right now. I need to buy a PS3 just so I can upgrade that.
Go to everybody's house and be like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Dude, it'll be like a virus where people just log on and all of a sudden, like, there'll be some kind of thing with, like, steam coming out of their toilet bowl or and it clouds the whole room and they can't see and it fucks up all the trophies. Fantastic.
It's the smell.
Oh, my God.
It's the smell.
Yeah, we need the smell add-on.
Smet-on.
The smell add-on.
It's the smell.
Just give him a That's scratch the and smell. Scream, right, Ethan?
Sure, whatever.
All right.
Oh, God. I think we pretty much
killed
this, Kevin.
Yeah, we have few in quantity but high in quality, kind of.
High in bulk, low in quality.
In bunk. Before I start the mailbag, I want to again remind everybody about the Pirates versus Ninja contest. Send your pirate or ninja. That is a pirate or ninja that you think would win in a battle versus pirates or ninjas, of pirates versus ninjas. I'll get to the number in a second. To mailbag at trygames.net, you can spell it either way, either M-A-L-E-B-A-G or M-A-I-L-B-A-G at trygames.net. Both of them work. We have, I don't know the exact number, but around 6 or 7 entries so far. We haven't had any new ones since last week. So remember, this contest will not start until we have 25.
Get it together.
If you are a digger of us, we highly appreciate it, but we also ask that you use the site normally. We're actually down to 8 digs. We used to have 12, and it apparently, I guess people aren't digging other things, so they kind of knocked us down to 8, which really sucks. But yeah, just use the site regularly, and if you are, then you are, and that's, you know, you're doing what you can. And we still have only 2 reviews on iTunes, so if you hate us and you want us to change, review us, and we're going to ignore you, but just review us anyways. Onto the mailbag. Since Ethan has to go to brunch, we'll go really quickly.
brunch!
And since Al has to go to work, I'll ask this first question really quickly. This is from Jeremy, and this is actually directed right at Al. I saw your Trigun's bio that you ran a stint on Guild Wars. I know that you're playing WoW now,
he's a huge Guild
which
Wars
obviously means that you're not playing anything else in the PC, but I was interested in knowing what guild you ran in with Guild Wars, what you thought of the game and the expansions, if applicable, and why you stopped playing. Thanks, Jeremy.
This is going to be a quick answer. Being that I usually play these games just to play with my friends, which is really, like, anti-MMO and whatnot. Like, I really try to play with other people. It's hard because people are dicks.
Yep.
And people don't want to help you, and they're really just in it for themselves. But when you're with your friends...
I want this 25-plus staff of mana. Go ahead.
Exactly. So, I never played Guild Wars with anybody other than my friends.
And since your friends moved on, you just moved on?
Well, I turn it on and update it every so often and look at the pretty graphics and whatnot. I would love to, like, play with a guild, but being that I play WoW, I probably wouldn't be very active or very helpful.
Right.
So, maybe if there's some kind of situation where I can't play WoW or not, and I still have, you know, it's free, so it's on my computer.
Right.
And I can play it whenever I want, which is awesome.
I heard there's also a very robust single player component.
Yeah, the only problem with it is that in order to actually proceed through your robust single player, you have to use AI controlled henchmen.
Oh, okay.
And depending on what character you are, like if you're a warrior, it's easier because you get everybody to support you. But if you play a support class, then you still have to be a lead role as a support class.
Right.
And you wind up dying. So that's kind of discouraged me from playing the single player. So I try and play with my friends and whatnot. And, you know, it's much easier and much more fun to play with 5 people than to play with 2, even with henchmen.
Right. What do you think of the game in general?
I think the game is good. It's got a lot of potential to be one of my favorites. But the only real issue I have with it is that it feels really detached. You have to, you know, everything is instanced.
That's how I heard they kept it free.
Instance. So basically, you can't just, you can get together with your friends and play.
But you can't just walk up to somebody who's sitting there and ask them for a quest or ask them to join up, right?
That's right. And then once you're in the world, it feels so
not unfriendly, what's the word I'm looking for?
Isolated.
Like estranged, where you're in a city and everybody's standing around and maybe some people are dancing or acting like they're playing instruments and stuff like that.
But you can't talk to them.
You can talk to them directly, but you can't like walk up to somebody and then say something and then have a chat bubble appear over your head. It happens sometimes, but it's more like you have to read the chat log at the bottom of the screen. So you're not really in, you're in a chat room, but you're not really in a city.
Okay.
So you don't have that connection with the other people. Whereas in like a WoW, you know, you run around and you see somebody on the road and you go, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Oh, you want help? Or, you know, can I go along with this? Or I need something with this. Can you go and do it with me? You go, you kill some stuff. And, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for the party. Bye. And that's it. And it's really, it's more realistic that way, because if I needed help with something or if I see somebody struggling with something on the street, I could offer to help them, take them to where they got to go, say thanks, and leave.
I guess that's how Guild Wars stays free, is that they kind of have to gimp that shit. I had no...
I don't know why Guild Wars is free, I'll tell you the truth. I think it's just because they... You know, they never reduce the price of their game.
Right. Well, so, also, the way you're describing the way that they keep the servers, it's not persistent like a World or Warcraft server that's like fully capable of doing what all the stuff that you're talking about. So they don't have to really pay that much money. Or I think it's, I don't know.
But they see, the thing is, they still do the same things. They still have regular updates. They still have events and things like that in the world. Right. But it's just the way the game is structured that I don't think that's what keeps it free. I think what keeps it free is just the fact that they've decided that this game will be free and they'll make money off of other games, because all these games are pretty much published by NCSoft. Right, NCSoft does City Heroes, City Villains.
Doesn't the instancing take away from some of the maintenance that they'd have to do?
I would say it adds more, because they have extra servers or extra server space allocated for instancing. Whereas in WoW, they have basically two machines which each hold a continent, and then you have the other servers that manage the instances in that realm.
Because I've heard from like other podcasts that that's how they keep it free, is because it's instances, because it's kind of like a semi peer to peer model. But I don't know. I don't know if they ever confirmed that. But out of five Try Games boxes, what would you give it?
I'd give it 3.
3 out of 5. Moving on.
Oh, and I never played any of the expansions, so I can't really comment on that.
Okay.
But I wanted to.
Okay. We have two questions left. They're both huge. One of them's about Ocarina of Time and how it's overrated or underrated or whatnot, and another one is kind of... I guess these are comments from Edu Buccaneer, but he's also asking us to name some difficult games, so... Which one should we go for first, so Ethan can answer one and then go to brunch?
Ethan has no knowledge of Ethan.
I think Ethan knows. So I think we're buying some time here.
What do you know?
Huh? My girlfriend's still on the phone, so I think we bought some time.
Okay, let's do Edu Buccaneer, since he's your favorite Brazilian. I'll run through this real quick. Hey, trigamos, or try whatever. I just got around to listening to this week's podcast. The first minutes were insanely funny, causing lots of laugh out louds. A.K.A. LOLs, even with headphones on. The show is getting better each edition, unlike GameSpot's own The Hotspot, which sadly is starting to become annoying. Since they don't take questions from the users that really want answers, prioritizing only the joking letters with stupid food-related subjects. Hey, Ed, cake or pie is an awesome question. Okay.
Cake or pie.
When you were talking about the best video game music composers... Cake or death! Video game music composers, Jesper Kidd's name sprang to mind. He's the guy who made all of the Hitman OSTs and the beautifully orchestrated Freedom Fighter score.
Oh, wow. Good one.
So Jesper Kidd, that's K-Y-D. Seeing that Austin is going through God of War again in order to be ready for the sequel, I'd like to bring up the subject of video game difficulty. Sometimes I'm one of the guys who has nostalgic memories of the so-called old days where games were hard, not just because of difficulty like the amount of items on screen, I mean enemies on screen, time limit, quantity of health, but the technicalities that made them difficult. Since Austin made a great editorial way back when about this, and this is like something from last year, I'd like to ask, do you all think that games from the past still hold value when we talk about difficult? I mean, these nostalgic maniacs are mostly out there mostly fail to see that some, although few of today's games are hard, and not hard because of technicalities, but because of true difficulty. Games that require skills, reflexes, and intelligence, mainly RTSs, God of War, for instance. Oh, and I'm tired of spelling out that guy's name, Ethan. Let's just leave it at not mentioning him here. Kidding, every show needs a slot to keep in the balance. Big nod to Al's jokes and Tony Salera's voice outburst. Please don't separate the mailbag from the show, and don't make it shorter. I disagree with Corby about that. If people are new to the show, you should make an attempt for them to go back to the past editions by leaving out references to past editions. I don't know what he means by that. I don't know if he means by taking them out or leaving them out for them to take. I don't know what he means by leaving out. So
maybe that'll be a new message.
Yeah. Not only would you firm a stable audience, but make them always bring up more people to listen or dig review the show. Keep up the great podcast, Edu. So, yeah, difficulty. I think that a lot of games in the past, just to touch on my article, was, you know, things like Castlevania, for instance. I love that game, but part of it was artificially difficult because of the fact that your jumping was so gimped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He had iron boots
well,
on.
Well, also, yeah, your difficulty levels are going to be skewed because nowadays you have more buttons, you have more control over the
character. Right.
It's different animation that allows you to do different things with the character. Can't compare a game like, what is it? Prince of Persia: Sands of Time 2 with Ninja Gaiden. You just can't.
Ninja Gaiden Xbox or Nintendo?
No, Nintendo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can't. You can't compare them.
I except for one thing, I do disagree. When a game is challenging, it's challenging, period. It doesn't matter how many buttons you have. It doesn't matter. The only thing that my caveat was the technicalities. And the only real technicality that Ninja Gaiden had was the fact that the enemies respawning were shit. Like, you move 1 inch off the screen and they come back at you. And the other thing was the fact that the way that you got hurt, that little period of invincibility that you had was way too short, so you could ricochet between two enemies. But I play that game today, and I see if they had fixed those, the game would still be ass hard because of the way they designed the levels and the way that the enemies, you know, are just placed for you to defeat. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still freaking hard. Whereas you talk about Sands of Time, forget about the fact that I think that's an incredibly easy game. If it were challenging, it would be because of the way that they designed the levels and the puzzles. And so, even though you've got them difficult in two different ways, they're still both difficult. This is, of course, with the fake notion that Prince of Persia is difficult, because it's not. But, like, you would have two games that were, like, you know, legitimately difficult. Now, if you're talking about something like I said, Castlevania versus, let's say, Ninja Gaiden on Xbox, which is hard as well. Of course, yeah, you can't compare the two, because Castlevania was really, really, truly because of the control. Like, I think that it would be much, much more manageable if you could jump normally. Like, because the enemy placement is not as ferocious as Ninja Gaiden.
Well, you know, you can always compare.
Except for the Medusas.
Yeah, those two, yeah. But with better jumping, you could easily get around them.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
As evidenced by, like,
Castlevania 4.
Right, exactly. Now, that was truly difficult because, like, the control was spot on, but it was still hard.
Mm-hmm. It was also longer.
Yeah, that's right. It was much longer and better.
But again, like, you can't compare Castlevania 4 to Castlevania 4. You can't compare it.
Right, that you can't do.
Yeah, you can't. And with that, your view of difficulties are going to change.
Well, it's not. It's the main point he's trying to say is that it's not. The main point is not whether or not, like, the view has changed, but whether or not it's truly about the difficulty. Because I honestly don't think Castlevania was hard because it was hard. I think it was hard because it was unfortunately poorly designed
with
the jumping. So it's not difficulty at all. And I guess to his main question, what do you think about games today? Are they? His question was, do you think all the games that from the past still hold value when we talk about difficult? And I would say,
it's tough.
We did this.
Yeah,
no?
Mostly not. Mostly no. Yeah. I would say no.
We did this. We reviewed games that we thought were way back when, and do they hold up now?
That was different, though. That was
Yeah,
I know it's different, but like as far as difficult,
it's a different question.
No,
they're not I think some of them still do hold up, but very few. So I think design has advanced to a point where, like, now we can see truly, like, Gradius. Mm-hmm. Gradius is one of those that was originally designed as, you know, as difficult and not as a poor design. It was truly difficult, and it's still difficult today.
But what makes it easy is the lag. I think if they eliminated the lag, you'd have an incredibly difficult.
Was there that much lag in the original Gradius?
Oh, yeah, Gradius 1?
Well, for Nintendo,
mention Gradius 3 on the Super NES.
Yeah, that was...
I think the
lag-tastic.
Adventure games might be kind of a little bit of an exception. Only because a lot of the difficulty was from
the puzzles.
The puzzles, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that doesn't really change as technology changes. I mean, it does change.
But here's the thing, though. It's not just technology, but it's just the frame of mind. Because when we're talking about technology, we can't say that technology was why Castlevania's jumping was shit. Because games like Mario were out there where it had good jumping. It wasn't because of tech. It was just because of design choices. And you can easily say that the old puzzles in adventure games were pieces of shit where you had to string together a candle with a cattail and light the cattail on fire to make the to make the armoire burst into flames and make it open. And then you had to take
you had
to take out the fur coat and blah, 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 blah. And that's more of a mindset of thinking of how do I design this puzzle to be challenging. It's like Myst, where they were like, oh, let's make this hard by making it so obscure. Rather than having puzzles today where they're like, well, let's make it hard, but let's make it something that they can think their way out of, but they really have to think. They can't just sit there and be like, well, what the fuck do I do now? Let me go read a fact.
Yeah, no, I'm lost.
I kind of agree, but part of me disagrees only because I think that there are both kind of puzzles now and then. And I think that there were puzzles that were just, you know, so... And I think that that genre may be just a little bit different because, like, I agree with you that it's not all about technology and about what they can do, but it is about design. But designing puzzles is a little bit easier regardless of how many years you've spent, you know, designing video games.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think the point is that as you advance, you see things, you see what works and what doesn't.
Yep.
And what my complaint with some adventure games and, you know, the ones that I've been playing recently, like the Longest Journey a couple of years ago, which I was thought was great, but still had those puzzles. Like, you had to drop the duck down into the pond and drop a... You know, things like that.
That's exactly right, but that's happening now, and that's why I think it's an interesting answer to the question. Not that...
But the thing is that there's some games that kind of take the old relic technicalities and still make them difficult. Like, for example, Mega Man... The Mega Mans today, everybody complains that, oh, why can't I shoot up, down, or diagonal? It's so limited. He still can't duck.
No. what I mean is that it's not that the puzzles before were great. It's that the puzzles now still blow. And so his question with role-playing is kind of a little bit different. With adventure games, they still haven't figured out how to come up with a really good puzzle. It's always going to be grab the candle, put the string
on
it, let it burn.
That. I have seen games that like Indigo Prophecy and other games like the later Longest Journey, the sequel, was supposedly good about not giving you shitty puzzles, and I heard Siberia was the same way. Games like Trace Memory on the DS was although it wasn't that great, it was devoid of really dumb puzzles. Hotel Dusk is devoid of.
Whoa! So the Indigo had dumb puzzles. They all have dumb puzzles.
But I haven't played them to where I haven't seen anything like light this shit on fire to do some really weird chain reaction that does not make sense. Like the puzzles that I've seen are dumb, but they make sense. Is what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you've seen, but I haven't. To me, the puzzles make the same amount of sense in the older games as they do now. It's kind of the same stuff. I'll come up with some examples for another time, but because I can't think of like specific puzzles in specific games right now.
I mean, I still think again it's like a technical design choice, and I still think it applies perfectly to his question. So I mean, I'm not sure. And Al and Tony are making up anagrams for mailbag in this.
Not an anagram for mailbag.
We got this one last question, but Al, I want to ask: do you have time to answer this, or are you going to be late?
I kind of haven't eaten yet.
Do you want to eat while you answer this?
I gotta cook.
Fuck.
Go put on your apron. Go.
Why don't we take it next time?
Yeah. What?
We can do it next.
We can take it next week.
We could do it in the morning. We could do it in the night.
But I want to answer it now. And he specifically addresses you going to work. Let me just read the question. Because he addresses you going to work.
Next week it's going to be addressing your cooking.
First, I have to say that I'm extremely interested to hear more of the Ocarina of Time, not a 10 discussion you guys mentioned last week. I'm always taking a lot of flack from my friends for not loving that game. I personally think it's a 7, maybe an 8 at its highest. I think that the game's highly overrated, and thus a lot of people forget that A Link to the Past is a much better game and the best Zelda game, in my opinion. The only one worth a 10. So anyway, I want each of you to pick 3 games. We're not going to do that now, Riven. This is from Riven, by the way. We're not going to do that now, but I'm just going to read the question. 3 games that you think are absolutely perfect, keeping in mind this is not a Trapped on the Island question, nor is it meant to imply that you only think these 3 are perfect and nothing else is.
Right.
I guess the latter is more of a disclaimer for everyone else listening to it. I'm giving on your behalf. With that said, the 3 I can think of are Link to the Past, Mario 3, and The Sims 2.
Wow.
There are a few others, but in the interest of time and because Al probably has to go to work, knock that shit off, Al. We're limiting it to three.
Yeah, I'll just knock this job shit off, and I won't be able to pay for my apartment or the internet connection with which I do my podcast every week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, pretty fucking lame there, big guy.
We're gonna answer this question next week, but I just want to get your thoughts really quickly on Al, on Ocarina not being a 10 before you go off to cook.
I would like to know why.
Wait, let Al go, please.
Okay,
he has
fine.
To go.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's a 10 because there are just certain things about the game which I probably have to sit and probably think about. I can't really come up with immediately. That, I mean, the game is very versatile. Has a lot of different environments. It has great puzzles. It has a, you know, I honestly think that most of the people who are exclaiming, "Oh my god, the game's a 10," are doing it for the most part because this is the first time in 3D, I guess you could say, that people are playing with Adult Link. I don't think that the game would have been a 10 had you only played with Young Link throughout the entire game. That's one thing I'm just thinking. I think it's a very biased opinion, but like, for example, GameCube Soul Calibur 2 was the best-selling Soul Calibur 2 because it had Adult Link in it. People are going crazy over Twilight Princess as opposed to Majora's Mask and Wind Waker because
it has Adult Link.
Adult Link is in it. And while that's all well and fine for a particular mindset and opinion, I just think that had the game only been, you know, with Young Link and it had the Water Temple and it had that big ass fight with Ganon at the end, mm-hmm. and it had, let's see, lots of different puzzles relating to going back and forth between dimensions as opposed to time, because, you know, if you're still Young Link, it's not going to be time. I honestly think that it would still be good. Like, for example, Majora's Mask. I think, honestly, Majora's Mask, in terms of the puzzles and in terms of the way the game is presented, is a half step better mm-hmm. than Ocarina of Time.
Uh-huh.
Only because of the actual game itself, not even talking about the story progression or the fact that, you know, you have the 72 hours with to finish the game.
Right.
So, these are the reasons why, like, if Ocarina of Time was a 10, that means that no other Zelda game was better than it.
Right.
That means that most other games in this world are not better than it. And I can definitely think of games that I enjoy playing more than Ocarina of Time, of which I think I've only played to completion 3 times in my life, you know? It's not like, you know, a 10 game will keep me playing it, even if it's the same story over and over and over again, just to do the puzzles, and like, I would give myself some time to forget the puzzles or something like that, and then happily go right back to the game.
Right.
I don't know, that's just kind of the way I take it.
No, makes
sense.
That's
the way I think a 10 would be.
Makes sense. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in, but Ethan has to go, so bye, Ethan!
Bye, guys.
Whore.
You're the best.
And Al, I suppose you have to go cook.
Yeah, I gotta go. Cooking mama.
All right, go cooking mama. Don't be late for work.
Go cook
if you, mama. If you still feel inclined to jump back in and curse us out before you leave for work, Tony and I will probably be still discussing this.
Okay.
But on
later,
to what,
bitches.
Bitch. On to,
suck.
Riven, just my take on this whole Ocarina thing. And again, like I said, we're going to answer your question next week in full, so don't worry about that. But right now, I'm just addressing the Ocarina thing. I think 7 or even an 8 is lowballing it by a lot. And bear in mind, I haven't played this game until, like, this past year, in 2006. You know?
You still haven't passed it, right?
No, remember I beat it?
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. But I think, here's my position. I'm going to edit this out, Tony, because I have a really big snot blow on my nose. I'm so sick.
Don't worry about it, man.
There we go. Actually, no, I'll keep that in. I'm not editing that shit.
Everybody knows
how to go. Oh, God. I'm so sick. But here's my position on it. And, Tony, you finished it, right?
Yes.
So, definitely, your opinion is totally valued here. So, I want you to stick around to answer this.
Sure.
I don't think it's a 10. I think that people who give it a 10 have a right to do so, not in terms of, like, everybody has a right to say this, but they have good reasons for it. The reviews that I've read, at least in the press, have good reasons for giving the game a perfect score. I think that the reviews that most people write, like reader reviews and shit like that, they're totally off the wall, and you know, it's 10 because everybody said, you know, that no.
Well, because of fanboys.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know that. Yeah, I see right through
and
it.
And loyalists.
Right.
Yeah.
That I see right through, but the people, like the media that have given well thought out discussions as to why they think it's a 10. You know, I can see why they gave it a 10. It just, for me, a 10 has that kind of je ne sais quoi to it, that kind of thing that gels with me. And Ocarina didn't do that for me in such a way that I give it a 10. Now, this may be a discussion of how games are scored. Mm-hmm. On Trigames, we don't use 1 to 10 anymore. We used to use 1 to 10 with denominations of 0.25, which is ridiculous. And then we took scores away altogether, which I still wish that we still kept, but people want to see a number rating. God damn you, people. and what now we use an out of 5 thing. Out of 5 is very, it's much more vague, but it's also much more helpful to the consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm saying basically is a 3 out of 5 is something that you know, might enjoy. And mm-hmm. A 5 out of 5 is something that, dude, you should go out and buy this. Right. It's just a matter of to what level is the quality. A 4 out of 5 is, yeah, you should definitely buy this. A 5 out of 5 is, you cannot miss this. And mm-hmm. I personally think that Ocarina of Time is a, you cannot miss this game. Right. So I'd give it a 5 out of 5. But I wouldn't give it a perfect 10 because most sites, they score things like a perfect 10 is like perfect. No game to me is perfect. Not even my favorites. Not even mm-hmm. Metroid Prime. Not even Final Fantasy VI. Nothing is perfect and nothing ever will be. No one can change my mind. Nothing is perfect. So, no, I don't think Ocarina is a 10, going by that argument. But by other arguments, though, like the reason why I would still score it a 5 out of 5 on my site is because it did a lot of things... First, it basically pioneered the way for 3D adventure gaming. I mean, it had a lot of things that it implemented that other games take from it and use as standards. The lock-on technology, you know, just the way that the camera is controlled, the way that, you know, you've got this puzzle design and going back and forth, all that shit. It basically pioneered it. And I'm not all for giving games that pioneer shit a perfect right. score, but the other thing is that it did it well, and it did it very well. It's one of those things that's expertly designed, and I think that it still holds up today very, very well. The reason why I don't think it's a 10 is just, you know, my own personal gripes. There's some things about it that just didn't stick with me. I didn't think it felt connected. You know, the whole world didn't feel connected because, like, you know, you go out into Hyrule Field, there's no enemies there in the daytime. None. And it's right, just kind right. of this big field that you walk through, and that's it. And
well,
then,
except for those, you know,
oh, you're right. You know what? I stand corrected. You're right. There are those big things. But you can't really fight them that well.
You really can't, and they kill you really fast.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you're kind of like going across this barren land back and forth. Right. It's kind of like a hub and spoke type of thing that I don't think is indicative of the true Zelda nature, which is mm-hmm. why I agree with you, Riven, in that when you say that Link to the Past is a much better game, I agree. I love Link to the Past. I think that is worth a 10. I don't think it's the only one worth a 10. Mm-hmm. I would give... one of the Game Boy Zeldas, which were very well done. If you haven't played them, they were very well done. One of them is could be worth a 10. And when I say worth a 10, I mean in other people's eyes that I can understand why they would rationalize that. I wouldn't necessarily give it a 10, but I can understand why it should deserve one. And again, Ocarina of Time could be debatable. I mean, I don't think it's overrated in terms of, like, you know, it's just my own personal beef with it. But I can see how other people can get past that. I don't think it's overrated at all. It just irritates me. I wish it were more cohesive. I think for some reason I feel like Twilight Princess is somewhat more cohesive. Everything is connected. Like the whole Tony, you've beaten this, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. Mm-hmm. I hope. But that whole battle where you go to Kakariko Village and then the dude takes that kid from you and you have to go mm-hmm. run through Hyrule Field to get that shit out of him.
Kind of Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Yeah, and then you run after him on horseback and you go fight on that bridge mm-hmm. and it's, you know, things like that keep the world connected. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Ocarina of Time really had that. And I know tons of Ocarina fans are going to jump on my back and say, no, well, this, that, and
that's
this, and
funny.
That. No,
yeah,
it
funny
doesn't.
That you said that because I think that's a main threat.
It being connected?
No.
It not being connected.
No, I'm talking about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, running, doing a horseback fighting thing. I think it's okay, but the thing on the bridge, I thought that was great.
Interesting. I liked it. But yeah, I'm sure plenty of people are going to come to me with 20 examples of Ocarina where, like, oh no, you get to do this and you do that. The whole point is the fact that I still feel this way, it's like I said, it's that je ne sais quoi. It's that I don't know what it is about it, but it just doesn't do that for me in terms of making me think that it's, you know, the best of all time. But again, I'll say this again, you know, I think that there are plenty of reasons why people should call it a 10. I think that mm-hmm. it deserves the praise that it gets. I'm just not one of those people that think it's better than everything else. I think it's up yeah. there, though. And again, to reiterate, because our scoring system is different, you know, a 5 out of 5 isn't out of question. Because
so, what would you give it on our rating?
On our rating, I would give it a 5 out of 5. I think it, you know, it deserves a lot of respect. It deserves a lot of the accolades it's gotten. I think everyone should play it. I just don't think people should go into it thinking it's perfect. I mean, it doesn't have one of those things. It doesn't have those things in God of War where, like, you know, the collision detection was shit, and like I got knocked down, and it had frustrating platform mechanics, and it had like really dumb stage design, like God of War. Hell was really stupid. You know, it was a bunch of floating platforms. That's all it was. It doesn't have that, you know, and God of War would have gotten a 5 if not for that, because everything else was so crafted so well. And Zelda, you know, to me is the same thing. Everything is crafted so well. It just has that little je ne sais quoi, that little oomph that tells me that if I were rating this on a 100-point scale, this would get a 99.9. It doesn't have that.
No.
But again, on our scale, 5 out of 5, must play. Easily, yeah, I'll totally give it to that. What are your thoughts on this question, and I guess on the game in general, in terms of, like, is it overrated or what?
Well, no. First off, I would really like to know why he, per se, does not.
The reasons why? Sure. So, Riven, if you're listening, I guess just write in as to your reasons why. It would be interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting discussion because it's something that a lot of people talk about. You know, I have this...
I mean, if he feels that strongly about it, sure, yeah.
Right.
Air why? And, you know, maybe you'll make a believer out of me, but right now, no.
Well, I mean, I
played the game, maybe I wasted those numbers, thousands, passed it many, many times over, and to this day, I still can't find a game that had the same feel,
the same kind of magic,
you know, with a fight for the ending boss that this game had.
Right.
The last fight with Ganon had to be one of the best enemy fights ever.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I thought that was a really, really fun battle too. Which one do you mean? Do you mean the spoilers?
You know,
when he's still a human or when he's a pig? Or both?
No, pig.
The entire thing,
pig.
I think.
With the lightning crashing in the background, the music, how everything's dark, how you just have to, like,
roll between his...
You know, just do the way you have to beat him. I mean, he's easy. I'm not, you know, bigger spoiler there. He's easy. Okay, there's no real challenge.
It's just the experience.
Just the way everything came together.
Right.
Okay, was just, I thought, fantastic.
Right, right.
I couldn't have asked. Okay, let's get into one of the views I have. The reason why many people gave it a 10 out of 10 is we're talking about this game on a Nintendo 64. Now, if you ever played the Nintendo 64, you know they had Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Zelda 64.
Mm-hmm. And that was
Well, you know, the Ocarina of Time. So,
right. Not much. F-Zero.
And that's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my fucking point, all right? That's number one. Number two,
I can see
at
where
the
you're
day
going,
and age, what other game did what Ocarina of Time did? First of all, you had to buy a separate rumble patch, that pack thing, which was huge to bucks.
Yeah.
Okay? But did any other game use it the way this game did? For instance, secret things on the ground, the rumble fight. You know, when you got
the Stone of Agony, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Stone of Agony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, right.
Okay. The fishing thing, you know, how you can tell the different views of the fish fighting and stuff. All that, I've never felt it before. Okay.
Right.
Especially in adventure. Okay, I felt it in racing.
Right.
Okay. The whole using the Ocarina to make the tunes and stuff like that, I haven't played that.
Right.
Okay. The way that you have to implement your inventory, for instance, the hover boots.
Using the items, right.
That hasn't been done before, okay? One of the best fights, other than Ganon, that I have is the one with Bongo Bongo. Okay?
Which one is that?
Because
I forgot.
Bongo Bongo is the one in the Haunted Well. He plays a drum. It's just like a big eye with big hands.
Oh, yeah. That one is crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay, come on. I mean, like, just that little...
The enemy
just
designs,
that little thing,
right.
Okay? Just those little things. Need I mention that it had a zillion side quests.
Right.
That it had an adventure between two worlds, which the worlds changed dramatically.
Right.
Okay? Places that look familiar look totally destined when you go into the future. You know, and you have to uncover secrets in the past in order to get to them in the future. You know, stuff like that. I've never seen that before. And back then, it was on the Nintendo 64.
Where it was kind of bleak.
That was, I mean, it was a Wii console.
Right.
And the graphics at that time were, like, pretty much as good as it gets.
Right, right.
Okay? As good as it gets. Yeah, polygon count, you could count them on your fingers. Okay?
Yeah, but this is back then when, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. This was a cartridge-based system that everybody abandoned pretty much, okay? And here it is, a Zelda game that, in my eyes, surpassed Link to the Past.
Right, right.
And don't get me wrong, Link to the Past was a fantastic game.
Right.
Fantastic.
It's a matter of preference,
it.
You know? I mean,
yeah. But you gotta, I can't give enough props to how great this game is. And just everything just came together. I can't say enough about it. You know,
right.
Did it deserve a 10? Absolutely, it deserved a 10. By today's standards, how do you rate a 10? Would you say a 10 is absolutely perfect? Well, that's kind of iffy, because in Trigame's world, when we only have 5 boxes,
boxes!
5 is not perfect. Yeah, exactly. 5 is not perfect,
right.
But you gotta give the game a box.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If whatever the highest score is, doesn't mean it's perfect if you get the highest score.
Right.
Why? Because you gotta recognize everything that you did, both in handling, both in gameplay, both in puzzles, both in just the depth of the story, the graphics, the music, everything worked for this game.
Right.
That's why I think it deserved a 10. Conversely, playing this new game, Twilight Princess, I'd have to give it a 5 out of 5, too.
Right.
The question is, would I give it a 10?
Right, right. I was going to ask you that. What is your thought? What are your thoughts?
I would give it a 9.
Give it a 9.
9.8.
Okay. Oh, no! It's 0.2 points! You're going to get flamed!
Yeah, why is that? Okay, first off, the same way I wouldn't, like, okay, let me get back to Ocarina of Time for a second, because after I passed that, I went to Majora's Mask, and I played about maybe 2 minutes of that.
You didn't like it?
My biggest reason for not playing that game was it looked exactly the same as well. I'm sure it had more things to do. I'm sure it had more adventure, but it was the same game, in my eyes. Link looked the same, he moved the same, he acted the same, he attacked the same. What's the difference? You know, now I gotta play this game for like 40, 50 hours just to find out that it's probably the same game. So I quit.
It's very different, but I could see where you're coming from.
Well, let me get to why this game is too much. You get into like, yeah, it's beats and bounds, graphics better, the controls are completely different. You can't even compare the control schemes or the adventure and stuff like that. And in my eyes, it's still a 3D-based adventure game that doesn't really feel that different from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, that's a common complaint, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody else would disagree. They'd be like, oh, come on, you know, you say no. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel different as far as controls to me. To me, it's like Ocarina of Time all over, okay? However, there are huge differences. The inventories, again, they really knocked it out of the park using implementing some of the inventory things, okay? Very, very imaginative. Level designs, what more can you say?
Right.
Okay? The game is long, mostly because you get lost a lot, okay? I mean, like, and the whole thing is, I didn't want to puss out and, like, read what I have to know.
So you just kept on exploring.
I wanted to find out for myself. Yeah, so that's why the first time it took me 57 hours and 2 minutes to clear this game, and the second time it only took me 29.
Right. Right.
You know? And that's what doing the side quests. The first time around, I didn't do the side quests.
Right, right.
Not to say that I cleared all the side quests, because it's so many.
Right.
But, I did do a lot of the side quests. Okay? On the second time around, you just know where you're going. And I gotta say, once I passed it the second time, I was like, okay.
Right, right.
Ocarina of Time was not like that.
Right.
Ocarina of Time was like, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to get faster. I can't wait, like, in this game, I dread going to some stage.
Right.
Water Tower, dread going there. Dreaded it from the... to me, it's not as fun.
Right.
Okay? It's just, like, there's some things that are just good about this game, and there's some things that I just can't say and knock it out of.
Right.
I really can't, okay? That's pretty much it. I give you my views on that.
Yeah, I wanna. You said something when he said like maybe he'll turn you into a believer. I mean, that's not necessarily true. Like people have different reasons for disliking something. Like just because
I don't know,
just
but,
because
but
someone
I'm always open
yeah.
to interpretation.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe Maybe he's got something valid that I really didn't
see. Well, no, I'm sure he has something valid, but whether or not it affects you, you know what I mean? Like, people, like, I'll have complaints about a game that I'll talk to other people, and they'll be like, well, that doesn't really affect my experience, whereas it affected mine. You know, so it's different strokes for different folks. But I would like to have a clear answer on, Riven, are you talking about this game in today's context? Are you talking about it in that context? Because,
if you are, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people like to say you can't talk about a game in today's context. But, sure, you can't. You can choose to. You just have to make that clear. Like, I'll talk about, you know, the original Zelda in today's context. You know, I think it was still very well crafted. I think, you know, things like moving diagonally and, you know, the sword fighting and all that stuff. Of course, you know, you can't. It'll never be as good as, you know, it was back then because things have advanced. Right. But I'm putting this on the table now. I'm saying, look, we're going to discuss this in terms of today. You know, so when you send your response, Riven, just let, you know, make it clear, like, you know, I don't think it's a 7 because, like, you know, compared to today's games, make that clear. People are going to be quick to jump on you for that. I won't.
Of course, because,
I won't, like, because if you're...
Let's just put it this way. I played it when it first came out.
Right.
So, of course, the experience that you're going to remember the experience you had then.
Right, right.
I mean, that'll never change. Right. You know? And it's going to take a lot to dissuade you from that memory.
Right.
So, you know, that's... Yeah, Riven, which are you? Did you play recently and made it? That's all I think.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to come out and say like, yes, I am talking about this in today's context. I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't necessarily know that would fit for, like, an official review, but, like, you know, if you're discussing it, you know, people will jump on you. They shouldn't, because you put it out on the table. You're qualifying, and that's something else that I want to talk about at some point in the future. Like, just when we discuss games, you know, I mean, there are many different ways to look at it, and people, just because people like one thing and they think you're wrong, they want to tell you that, no, you can't do this, you can't say this, you don't get to say this, is what some people say, and I think that's total bullshit. Like, this game Flow for the PlayStation 3, I don't know if you've heard of it, Tony.
No.
It's basically an extension of this Flash game that some guy was hired to expand for the PlayStation 3. And it's basically an artistic piece of work, right? Okay. It looks really cool. It's very simple. It's very elegant. The gameplay isn't all there, but what people enjoy about it is the experience. Now, I probably wouldn't enjoy it, but I can understand why they would. You know, and on this video podcast on the 1UP Network, like, one of the guys was saying, like, yeah, this isn't worth $8 for anybody. And he's like, how can you say that? You know, I paid $8 for this, and it's worth it for me. And he's like, it's not worth $8. And first thing is, like, dude, if he's happy with it, you can't argue with him that he's not happy with it.
Right.
Like, I can't, Tony, I can't tell you that, no, but you really don't like Ocarina of Time.
No. That's not what we're saying at all. No.
Like, I can't tell you that. Like, he can't tell that guy, like, oh, you paid something that's not worth this game. And he's like, well, it's worth it to me. And the second thing, he was like, yeah, and even if the gameplay's kind of shallow, it's like a nice work of art, you know? It's a piece of craft that, you know, that you know, shows some things about the experience. And the other guy was just like, no, you don't get to turn this into an argument about art. And I'm like, why not? Why don't you can't tell him what he can and cannot do when he's discussing
a
game?
Well, that's the whole thing. This is not getting into personal beliefs.
Oh, sure, sure.
It's fun or not.
Right.
It's a grading system.
Right.
If you want to dissuade me from giving something a 10, give me a reason.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm not saying saying that you would. I'm talking about solely in the context of when he responds and he says one thing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about either. I'm just making a generalization that when it comes to giving a game a number or giving the game an experience rating, like based on your personal experience and stuff like that, it's a completely different
thing. Right. I also think of this context that he's likely, like, one other thing that we have to remember is that when people speak in numbers, they mean totally different things, but I think that the universal thing is that 10 is perfect. So... I don't know.
Not according to Spinal Tap.
It's 11.
11.
Damn it, it's 11.
But it goes to 11.
It goes to 11. I think the thing is...
Why not make 10 the loudest?
Right.
But it goes to 11.
But the thing with Riven is that, you know, as many, most of our writers are, he's our mailbag writers are, he's a GameSpot member. A member of the GameSpot community. So the way that they score things, it's like 5 is mediocre, 6 is fair, 7 is...
Right, no, I've seen the greatest.
So it's like, you know, he's going on that scale. Different web... I don't know if he's going by that scale or by different scale. Like, the 1UP Network does 7 is good. Well, 7 is good in GameSpot too, but 7 is a much more lenient... Like, people look at a 7.5 on 1UP differently than they look at... It's always so different, you know? And I guess the main argument here was, you know, I don't think it's perfect. And, you know, right. that's basically what he was trying to say. So anybody who's listening, don't get caught up in the numbers game. And if you want to flame him, do so at your own risk, because I'm pretty sure that he'll come back the week after with a very good response. So people are vicious when they're backed into a corner on the internet because they don't have to get physically beaten.
Oh, everybody wants to be right.
Yeah.
I have a question to pose.
Yes.
Like, you know, I would like to know if anybody would join in boycotting movies, you know, that are made either without video games or, you know, from video games. But I just watched a horrible movie yesterday.
Uh-oh.
It was called Stay Alive.
What?
It was so bad, I wanted to put a fucking bag of rats over my head.
Stay
Alive. It was
alive.
Just that fucking... Yeah, Stay Alive.
Looking on IMDb.com.
It was a movie based on some stupid fucking game. That was, you know, it was so bad. I just can't take it. People, please stop it.
What you should do is the next time you should protect your rear with like a chastity belt or something.
Oh my god. I want the community to know, whoever's listening to the podcast, please do not see a YouTube hole.
Oh god, okay, here. Wait. Here we go. Plot outline. For a group of teens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, for a group of teens, the answer to the mysterious death of their old friend lies within the world of an online video game based on the true story of an ancient noblewoman known as the Blood Countess. After the brutal death of a friend, a group of friends find themselves in a possession of a video game called Stay Alive, a blood-curdling true story of a 17th century noblewoman known as the Blood Countess after playing the game. When they know they shouldn't, however, the friends realize that once they die in the game, they die for real. As their numbers begin dropping, as they begin dying the ways they died in the game, the remaining friends realize they must defeat the Blood Countess or accept their fate. Wow.
I'd rather put skewers in my nuts than to see another fucking video game movie. I'm so sick.
And we have a review. We have a 6-star review, 6 out of 10, which is generous.
Very.
Stay Alive. Wait. Tony, you have the chance to retort against this. Dude, Stay Alive follows a group of 20-somethings as they uncover an evil video game titled Stay Alive that sends a nasty Blood Countess to kill its players in real life when they die within the game. The film isn't frequently scary, as most of the gore has obviously and haphazardly been hacked and edited down, so much that the film would receive a PG-13 rating. I still, to this day, will never understand why filmmakers allow their creations to be stripped and retooled for the sake of a rating. Much of the impact of what would have been a gruesome scene in Stay Alive are diminished to brief flashes that don't even register as images. A bit of the language has been edited down as well, which is just plain ludicrous and silly. Silly. Guys and girls in their 20s don't exclaim fudge when they're scared. They just don't. The filmmakers must know this. Oddly enough, even through all the negatives that the film has stacked up against it, I still enjoyed watching the film. While the supporting cast is not worth mentioning, the film star for the short-lived television series Life as We Know It shows real talent. Which is good since he carries the entire film. The film also does a good job of not depending on its video game content. And he used its in the wrong context, by the way. There's no apostrophe in that one. While utilizing it very well to create atmosphere and mood. And yes, while the blood count... Wait, and yet when the Blood Countess finally gets enough screen time to be creepy and the film works towards its fairly potent climax, I was engrossed and happy. The film is deeply flawed, but entertaining nonetheless.
Okay, first off, add all the fuck words you want in a movie, okay? add all the gore you want in a movie. The movie sucked fucking nuts, okay? I can't even explain how bad this fucking movie was. It had Frankie Muniz in it. Frankie fucking
did
Muniz.
It? Holy
in
shit.
In a horror movie, okay?
It did! It did! Oh my god!
Of course it did! Frankie fucking Muniz! Do I need to say more? Frankie fucking Muniz! Okay? Hey, listen. They could have put him... Fuck! In the credits. That would have made the movie better. Okay? That's the only way the movie would have been better. Star credits, end credits, and a movie. That's it. That's the only way the movie would have been better. Okay? But this movie fucking sucked nuts. It was based on a Countess Bathory. Okay?
Bathory?
Bathory. Come on, man. Give me a fucking break. And you want to talk about them toning down the gore or like the horror and stuff like that? Let me tell you something. This was made by the most hackneyed minds in the most hackneyed part of fucking Hollywood. Okay? And if you even think that 1 ounce of fucking more gore or any profanity would have made this movie better, you're obviously part of the fucking Hollywood problem. Nothing could have made this game. You know what would have made this movie better? It not being made. That would have made it better. Okay?
I agree.
What would have made it better is if they just showed it all in CGI. Make it a CGI game. And instead of the CGIs, okay, like, instead of us playing the game, they were playing us. That would have made it better.
Oh, you're going crazy here.
What else could there be? There was no originality in this fucking movie. This movie was stupid, okay? I mean, what the fuck? It was the same thing as, you know, The Grudge or you know, The Eye or whatever the fuck.
The
Eye. Like, I mean, whatever the fucking Japanese knockoff, this probably came from. I mean, the whole thing was, I mean, what was that movie? The Ring. Okay, you watch a video, and then after the video, you die. Ooh, let's play a video game.
Hey, that was actually a good movie.
You die. Oh, how original. What a fucking piece of shit. I'm sorry,
guys. It was like The Matrix.
If you really enjoyed this movie, then you would probably enjoy two people smacking each other in the nuts with their mouth. Okay? Because it's probably the same fucking entertainment value.
You can find this review on IMDb by TroyBoy575, written on 30 March.
Troy Boy, I don't want to say anything, but maybe you should change your name to Toy Boy, because you are just a pawn of the fucking Hollywood oppressor. You are not allowed to rate it any more movies. That's it. You're done. I'm sorry.
Hey, it was based on a true
story. You know what would be good? Find a good review for Alone in the Dark.
If anybody's still listening, I'm going to do this right now.
Oh, my God.
Here's a one-star review. Two stars, one star, one star. And this is out of 10. One star, one star, one star, one star. No rating given. One star, one star. There are 11 pages... There are 46 pages of reviews. I'm willing to bet that none of these have any more than two stars. One star, two stars, two stars, one star, one star, three stars.
Uh-oh.
But it's still a
what
bad
the
review.
Fuck?
I think it was just four stars.
Uh-oh.
By no means a good movie, but not nearly as bad as I was led to expect by the rating.
My son.
My son and I watched it during a bad movie pinch. And we're disappointed to find it was almost watchable on the merits. Alone in the Dark starts out with a semblance of a plot, though this gets lost halfway through, at which point the movie degenerates into a sort of mindless CGI shootout. The production values aren't bad, but self-conscious direction tends to prevent the viewer from being pulled into the story. If you think about it, however, these same generalizations could be made about a lot of movies, some of which have achieved substantial commercial and critical success. My rating may be a little generous, 3.5 would be a closer value, but I have seen a lot of movies that were worse, and a number that were much worse.
I haven't!
One, two, one, 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 ten!
What?!
Okay, this is a long one here. Uwe Boll is my new director hero. This guy, seriously... This guy seriously makes stinker after crapper and yet still manages to think he's good at making movies. I can barely grasp all the opinions this movie produced inside my twisted mind, but I will try. The question is, where did all the money go? Okay, this is obviously a joke review because...
Yeah, it's a joke review. Then fuck it.
Oh, wait. Here's his remark. This movie sucks very much, but with Uwe's commentary on the DVD, it's absolutely awesome. It's actually... No. Here's his reasoning. It's actually pure comedy that way since Uwe is dead serious when talking. So in the respect of it being a spoof, it's a 10. I can agree with that. If it's a horrible, sarcastic 10, yeah. And this other guy says the same thing. 10 stars. I give this movie a full 10 stars due to the hilarity of its director's commentary, not because of any quality in the film, for there is none. When my brother rented House of the Dead after his appalled viewing, he watched it with the director's commentary on to see what the hell the director was thinking. And the commentary was better than the movie. So now we rent this guy's stuff just to laugh our asses off with his idiotic musings. He actually believes that his movies are works of art. You'll giggle uncontrollably when you watch Alone in the Dark with the commentary. He refers to his ending as Lynchian. For a reason
what?
That the viewer, no, apparently the director, can explain. He constantly makes fun of Tara Reid and complains that she doesn't take off her bra. He refers to every shamelessly ripped-off scene as an homage. Best of all, he complains that he is a misunderstood genius who has been unfairly criticized on this very site. Chances are he is reading this review and others at this moment and plotting about how to incorporate his rebuttals in his next commentary track.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't doubt it. Wow, talk about narcissism.
That's hilarious. Ethan, you're a loser. Al, you're a loser for missing this great conversation totally. About Uwe Boll. Oh, God. Should we wrap this up?
We should Let's wrap this up in latex condoms. I just want to say that one day we shall actually have a TriCast. Probably when Postal comes out.
Oh, no.
Pay homage.
Oh, no.
Yes. To pay homage to our infamous creative genius, Uwe Boll. To thank him for Street Fighter and House of the Dead and fucking Alone in the Dark.
Oh, sad.
And for whatever piece of shit is going to come out later. So, let's look forward to the future, folks.
All right, to everyone who's still listening, thank you for sticking with us. Remember if you...
And thanks for your letters.
Yeah, thank you for your letters. Remember, if you dig us, please use the site normally. Like, don't just dig us. Use the site as you normally would. If you find something cool, just dig it, because we're losing digs because they think that we've got spammers, you know, who are just digging for us and no one else. And write us a review on iTunes. And remember to enter your prize in. We've only got about 6 or 7 people. Rally your friends, please.
They could also write a review on Dig, right?
Yes.
Review us on the Dig.
Oh, can they review us? They can write comments on Dig, so do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for Ethan, for Al, and for Tony, thanks for sticking around. I have been sick.
Sure. Yep.
And we're out.
Good girls gotta get down with the gangsta.